Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to part two of our interview with Laura Ketchledge about near-death experiences.
So you had to put batteries in this phone and leave it plugged in. So, you know, the phone lines usually didn't get clobbered. But, you know, I lost electricity quite often, and I always wanted to have a phone, a landline. So a few times I'd be in the shower or I'd be out feeding the horses, and I heard the phone ring. So I had to truck in the house as fast as I could, and I'd went for my caller ID, and nobody called. I thought it was odd, and I had a cell phone, but I never turned it on, and I only had it when I drove in the car because, you know, I'm older. I have to get my glasses out to text. I always thought that, you know, cell phones are a headache but a necessity in case of emergency. So this happened a few times to me, and I was just thinking, my gosh, what is going on? And it felt odd because I'd run into the house and sometimes I would catch a chill. You know, I'd walk through something cold. So I, you know, I had the phone in my guest room, and one day I ran out of batteries for my little camera. Pardon me. Sure. So I took the batteries out of the phone and I unplugged it, didn't think anything of it. I went out to take pictures of the horses and the dogs, and you know, I didn't think anything of it. So a few days later, I heard the phone ringing, and I ran in the house, and the phone that was ringing was the phone that was unplugged with no batteries in it. And I was very much taken back.
Sure.
But I definitely heard it, and it's like, how could that have happened? And I was thinking, okay, maybe when one of the spirits moved through the house, it was an electrical thing, you know? So I called a paranormal team to come out and do a ghost investigation. Actually, I had five total. I got different paranormal teams to come out, told them that I was having some strange occurrences, and I wanted to figure this out because, you know, it seemed like a great puzzle. Would you like to hear about the findings?
Yes, definitely.
Okay, one team, they came out with all kinds of equipment, and I'm not a techie girl, but I was impressed. So they put up these infrared cameras, and then they had me walk through the house, and I came in and I sat down in the living room, and I was asking spirits or ghosts or souls or whatever you want to call it, questions out loud to see if that we could have any occurrences. And with the strangest thing is there's these light meters or detectors. So that there was four of them on, you know, on my bed. And I came in and we were talking. I said, you know, if there's someone here that wants to be known, would you mind lighting up these detectors? All four lit up in unison. And I thanked them. And then it stopped after I thanked them. So I went into the living room and the cameras are going and things like that. And I'm not freaked out. I didn't feel like, you know, anybody was menacing or anything. Didn't have any bad vibes. So I went into the bedroom, did the same thing asking, and I was hearing this huge hoopla in the kitchen when they were looking at the camera. And I came out later, and you could see clear definition of orbs. One floated towards me, hovered above my head, then changed direction. And there was a good five separate orbs doing that through the, you know, we were there for hours. So I was impressed. I was impressed. And then we got some Class A EVPs, and one that Jeff Sanford took was very interesting. Would you like to hear about it?
Yeah, definitely.
So Jeff Sanford and his group came over, and he said he went in with his special recorder, and he went into the bedroom, and we were really quiet. We had to unplug all the appliances and turn off the air conditioner and stuff. And so he asked, are there any children here? And there was a clear, audible male voice that said, you have to look. So it was a complete answer to a question, a full sentence. And I played that to my late mother, and she said, you know, that sounded like her brother who had passed. And I was very impressed about that. But I got a feeling all of this was kind of good stuff. I didn't have, you know, that deep, you know, they asked me about demons and all that kind of, you know, stuff. Nothing like that's ever happened to me. I got scared a few times, but that was really my perception. My window into the non-physical reality has always been a pretty happy event and very unique and sometimes even comforting and a few times odd. I mean, I can't say that I was set up with a psyche to receive this well. I mean, I, you know, had my troubles with it.
When you invited the paranormal investigation team to come into the house to essentially see what they could find, you had already, I'm sure, accepted what was going on, believed that you were having these experiences, knew you were having these experiences. You probably didn't need someone to tell you that you weren't crazy. What was your goal by bringing the paranormal investigation team into the house?
You know, that's a wonderful question. My goal was I wanted verification and I wanted a little more explanation. You know, I wanted to communicate further. I wanted to see, you know, if you're here, what can I do for you? Do you need something finished? Is there a message you want to pass on? You know, I wanted to reach out my hand and connect better because I sometimes felt like I was failing Ghost 101. I mean, not because I would see a kind of a shadow scurry across the wall and, well, what does it mean? Am I doing something wrong or am I not open enough? I had some big questions. These are huge events that happened. One particular event, could I share with you?
Yeah.
I had a really beloved Australian Shepherd named Bridget Bardot, and she was the love of my life. I took her to the vet. I realized she was dying. I wanted to take her home to die. She was in the chain stoke breathing part of the dying process. And I laid her out in my bathroom and had the door open and I was sleeping in my bedroom. And it was in November and all of a sudden this beautiful, now this didn't happen very often, only maybe four times in my life, this beautiful, spectacular blue orb came into my bedroom. And it was so gorgeous, and the colors were changing in different hues, and there was a silver sparkle in the center. I began to cry because of the beauty of this orb. And then I looked over at Bridget, and, you know, her she was still in the chain stoke process. I saw my gorgeous Australian Shepherd come out of her body, and she was all white, and her hair was longer, which surprised me, and she bound over to the bed, and I went to grab her to feel her stomach, if she has still had the inflamed liver. I went to grab her, and she dissolved or faded or I don't, she just disappeared. She vanished like in a swoop, and her body was still in the in the bed, you know, in the bathroom, and I looked up at this blue orb, and then it went too. It didn't go fast. It was there for a while. The whole event was over, and I pulled the dog into the bedroom and on the carpet, and she was still in chain stoke breathing, but she was very very spaced. She would breathe, and then there'd be a long time between breaths, and she died in my arms. But But I realized she had left her body when I witnessed that, you know, a few minutes prior. And it was a beautiful event. It was an important event. And the orb or the soul that had come in had awoken me so that I could witness this or somehow felicitated this event that I was able to see. It was an act of love, I believe.
When you have these experiences with the deceased, whether it be a human or a pet, as you've shared these experiences, they seem to be very much people or animals that you have had interactions with or had a relationship with at some point in your life. Are you ever visited? Are you ever sensing individuals or animals that you didn't know, that just seems to kind of be on the same plane or in the same geographic area, energy-wise, that you happen to be?
Yes, you know, that's interesting. Animals are only a few animals that have been my pets I've been able to connect with. There is a near-death connection between me and loved ones and my pets. That's a for sure. Mm-hmm. But I have seen the occasional stranger, and sometimes it's been unnerving and usually quite sad when I found a confused soul. I'd like to share something that had happened.
Yeah.
As I was still living, I think it was 2009, with that in that farm, I was woken in the middle of the night, and I heard a man say, "Let me in." Well, I ran for the phone. I mean, I jumped for the phone. I was woken up out of a hard sleep, and being a single woman living in a secluded farm alone, it scared the bejeebies out of me. So I went to the window where I sensed and opened up the window, and I saw a man, and instantly I knew he was no longer alive because there was no pigmentation whatsoever in him. He was a tall man, old man with an angular face, you know, clean shaven, white hair combed off his face, wearing work pants and boots, and a button-down shirt. I couldn't tell if had he died recently, had it been in the prior century. I couldn't put a time frame at all because his clothes were so nondescript. But he looked at me, and he was very anguished, and he said, "Tell me when I can go back to work." And I felt so bad for this guy. First of all, he was confused and wandering. I don't know why he wandered to my house. I didn't have the welcome mat out. But, geez, you know, and he stood there. I said, "I'll come out. I'll come out to you." And as I said those words, and he was there a good several minutes, he walked in this circle, and he had this forlorn, tragic face. And he was just walking tragedy. And I had to collect myself and dress and grab the flashlight and wake up the dog. And I went out there, and he was gone. I called up my girlfriend, who has some psychic ability. She came over in the middle of the night, and she's a doctor, and she said she felt this anguish or this wave of emotion pass through her body. And so she felt it too, but I didn't feel anything after he'd gone. I didn't have any cold spots or anything like that. But I felt bad for him, you know, and there was no closure because nothing connected to him ever happened ever since. And that's been going to go.
Did you ever have any idea as to who this man was or why he was there other than the experience and the interaction that you had?
I'm clueless. I read the obituaries, got the paper the next day, read the obituaries. He hadn't died recently. I have a feeling he died a long time ago, you know, a good, huge chunk of time.
Sure.
But time there in non-physical reality is so different from time here.
Mm-hmm. For the most part, it sounds, and you stated yourself, you've had a fairly positive interaction with the other side when you've had interactions with them. Has there ever been any fear on your part of that streak changing? Obviously, with the paranormal, you know, craze that exists these days, it did not exist many years ago. And I believe it gets overblown on television and such, where we see the word demon thrown around far too often than it should be. But has there ever been any sort of fear or concern that maybe one of these times the interaction with whatever you may be experiencing is not going to be necessarily just a loved one or confused spirit passing through?
Well, I had a menacing personality one time when I was, I think, 23. That was my only really bad experience.
Can you talk about that at all?
Sure, I'd be glad to. You know, back when I was young and I was a babe, you know, I mean, you know, you dress badly because you have bad taste when you're a teenage, you know, a young woman. So
sure.
I was wearing a kind of a provocative outfit that I thought was good taste. And one day I went into the DMV in Daytona Beach, Florida, and I saw this man, and he was just, oh, good Lord. God did not bless this gentleman with good looks. And he was standing in the middle of the DMV, Division of Motor Vehicles, and I'm there and kind of in a rush. And he was looking at me very, very intently with non-Christian thoughts, you know.
That's one way of putting it.
creeper.
Yeah.
But nobody there seemed interacting with him, and he seemed to just, his eyes were following me. So, you know, I got my driver's license or whatever, tag or whatever I was there to do. I went home, and I had a little place. I was living alone close to the beach in Ormond Beach on Halifax Drive. I was renting this house. So in the middle of the night, I woke up, and I felt not good, like, you know, kind of sick to my stomach. And I heard this whistling, and I thought, oh, did I leave the TV on again? Because I'm notorious for leaving the TV on. And this person that I'd seen at the Division of Motor Vehicles was walking down my hall with a luminous color, not pure white, but like off-white. And he had been whistling, and he came in and peered at me as I was sitting up on my bed. And there was nothing good about him, nothing good in his thoughts. And my mind was racing because you can't call the police on a ghost or a spirit or whoever. My mind was racing, you know, is he a demon? Is he a this or that? And then it finally occurred to me that at the DMV, you know, he looked, I don't think he was alive.
No.
I was a little slow to the realization as he was in my room. He wasn't alive at the Division of Motor Vehicles. Mm-hmm. I was the only one that had seen him, but he had honed in on me when I was there. And I thought because I was, you know, a young girl, and he would look like the guy in high school that never got a date. So he had come to my house somehow, and I was angry. And I shouted, how dare you come into my home? I shouted out a few other things that you can't repeat on live radio. Mm-hmm. I was angry because there was nothing kind or menacing. You know, it was only menacing, and he did not have good intentions. And then it was over. And you know what I did?
What's that?
I moved. I moved. I packed up all my stuff, you know, I boxed up my things, called the moving people. I got in my car, and I left the house. And I moved away because it was that unnerving.
Wow. Through all of the experiences that you've had over the years, and I think for a lot of us, with age comes some wisdom, especially when you're going through these things that not a majority of people go through. What have you learned about communicating and interacting with spirits that you'd say, you know, you were unaware of towards the beginning of having these experiences as a teenager?
I can sum it up with one word that I think would resonate through the listeners. Gratitude.
And how
I
is
have
that?
Nothing but gratitude that I My grandfather guided me through my near-death experience. He came to save my life when I was 34. If he hadn't, I would not be talking to you. I would have been dead. That I still feel loved, but nothing but gratitude that I had the NDE, able to experience. And as time goes by, my fears have lessened and lessened. You know, I didn't get the lotto numbers. Nobody told me to, hey, don't marry that guy. You know, there weren't these type of messages. But my grandfather reached out from beyond the grave and saved my life when I was 34. And I really thank him for that. Would you like me to tell you the story?
Yeah, I'd love to hear that.
When I was a young girl, I was diagnosed with autoimmune disease, and it's been a struggle. And I think having, you know, a few times when I've been close to death because of it, I've had more experiences. So when I was 34, I'd gone off a medication. The doctor said I could. I thought everything was fine. I felt very, very tired, and my stomach felt warm. So I went to the ER. And it was ruled out. They said, you have autoimmune hepatitis, but you'll be miserable, but fine. So I was sleeping a lot, and I was taking aspirin for pain. I was just felt weary, and it was a weary I'd never experienced before. So one morning, I'm sitting up in bed, wide awake. I'd watched the television, turned it off, and I was just trying to get motivated to get going that morning. My grandfather walked in my bedroom. He looked as alive as when the last time I'd seen him. Now, he didn't have on his glasses, but he had on a flannel shirt and these gray pants, and an outfit I recognized. And he came over and sat by my bed, and I was like, you know, the air felt, it was like hanging in my lungs. And he put his hand over my stomach and said, your spleen, and then he dissolved into nothing. Well, I jetted out of bed, ran to my mother, who was a registered nurse, and I said, where in your body is your spleen? I had no idea, was it under your, I didn't even know what a spleen was. And she told me, and I told her about the experience, and she held my hand, and she said, do you know you're ice cold? I hadn't even noticed, but I was just ice cold.
Sure.
So I didn't know where my spleen was, and I had gone to the doctor and asked him about it. Oh, you're fine. You had this test. You had the imaging at the ER. You're okay. Don't worry about it. I come home. A few days later, I'm in my room, and someone whispers in my ear, and I mean whispers loud, spleen. Spleen, and I had this like shaking in my body, and I had a realization. I don't know if it was a message or how I perceived it, but I knew at that instant if I did not have my spleen removed, I was going to die. So I went to a doctor in Orlando, and I told him what happened. I just thought, you know, if I'm going to die, you know, I might as well tell the truth, tell somebody.
Sure.
So I told him, and he took a long pause, and his name was Gary. I'll say his first name. I don't think he'd want me to finish, you know, tell me.
Yeah.
Broadcast is Dr. Gary. He looked at me and he said, you know, I've heard some strange things in all my years of practice, but I believe you. I'm writing you a physician's order for a splenectomy. And I said, okay. So when they did the surgery and it was I think it was the next Wednesday, my spleen had bled. Had a large clot the size of a man's hand, should have kept bleeding because I was taking anticoagulant aspirin. I should have been dead, but wasn't. And when I woke up and I was told all this by the doctor, and the doctor, you know, he was one of those detached guys and said, you know, you're very lucky to be alive. I didn't feel so lucky. It was a miserable operation. But I knew that my grandfather had come to save my life, and had he not done that, I never would have figured out it was my spleen, and I wouldn't have gone to the doctor, and I probably would have bled to death in my sleep one night. So
sure.
I felt that was a really powerful thing that my grandfather did for me, and an act of pure love.
Yeah. an interesting observation or an interesting thought on that, and this is just an opinion-based question. Some folks will say there's intuition where you just get a feeling that you should do something that otherwise you wouldn't have knowledge of. And in your case, you literally saw your grandfather come in and say, your spleen, and gave you the message directly. In your opinion, is intuition and the experience you had, are those two things almost tied together, whereas one person can pick up the message loud and clear all the way down to who's delivering it as seeing your grandfather come in and tell you, and others are just kind of getting this weird feeling and they don't know why they're getting it, but they're kind of picking up a message, almost as if what is an example would be just another sound or another sense being sound. Some people have great hearing. You can hear the very quiet radio in the other room and hear everything they're saying, and others just are picking up maybe a word or two, but they know there's a radio on. At the end of the day, the message is delivered, but it's experienced in a very different way by the individual. Do you think the two have a relationship?
You know, I think you hit the nail on the head there. I didn't have these great intuition before my near-death experience. I had it occasionally and randomly throughout my adult life since. Mm-hmm. They're very powerful.
Yeah. Whereas
that gut feeling is definitely loud.
Yeah.
At this point.
That wraps up part two of our interview with Laura Ketchledge about near-death experiences. A big thank you to her for joining us on the program and sharing her stories today. Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for the support and thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores, like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playmcd.com for full details and amoe.playmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.